Psalm 55. I think it's quite obvious in this psalm. The psalm is called to the chief musician on Negino, Maskil. And you will see Maskil associated with some of the psalms, maybe in your Bible, like it does in mine. It shows you that at the beginning of the psalm, to the chief musician, Negino, Maskil. I mean, that word is often prefixed to psalms where David was speaking of himself being chastened or being in particular difficulties and then good coming his way. And this is a good psalm, a very important psalm. And we're not going to read it all. We'll just read from verse 12 of Psalm 55. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, O man, mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shalt bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Amen. Suppose tonight is one of those occasions when I wish that the entire congregation were able to be here. And the reason being this, that while we always try to have a word from the Lord to help everybody, and to encourage us or to direct us along the way, every now and again, when we're getting ready, we prepare a word and we are convinced that it is a word, especially for those who have various difficulties and problems. I remember the Reverend Johnson, you'll excuse me, for I learned a lot in the time I was assisting him in Armagh. And I remember we were talking to someone one time who had a particular problem, and they said, you know, when these things come, sitting at home is not the answer. You really want to be in church, because it could be a word that could be for you and you could miss it just because you didn't come. And that person did start coming along to the meetings better after that. But it's just one of those nights when we certainly believe we have a word from the Lord, and we trust that it will help you tonight. Look into verse 22. It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Could we have a wee word of prayer then, just as we look at this passage, please? Father in heaven, we're thankful again tonight for the Bible that we have and the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us. And Lord, so often we forget thee. But Lord, we thank thee that we are the apple of God's eye. And Lord, tonight we pray that you might minister to us, not in an intellectual way, but Lord, minister to our hearts and help us through the word. And Lord, for those who will listen to the message as it goes on to sermon audio, whether they're connected with this congregation or not, may the word help them and encourage them in these days. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In many of the experiences of life, there are similar things happen to people who are Christians and to those who are not saved. I think I could sum it all up in saying that burden-bearing and trouble will come to everyone in their life, irrespective if they know the Lord or not. And it is true that some people seem to have to carry heavier burdens than others. And I'm sure as I speak to you tonight, looking around, I'm sure you have some burden tonight that is there this morning. And you've been carrying it maybe for a while. And it is something that you perhaps try to hide. That's your business. You don't have to do that. But if that's what you want to do, you're entitled to do that. Someone said to me one time that many a broken heart is hidden behind a pleasant smile. And that can be very true indeed. But often indeed, we can say that the most poignant and the biggest burdens are those that men and women carry that we don't know they're carrying them. And they do not share them with other people. There are some burdens that are there for us all to see. And some people are quite happy to make their burdens known to other people. But whatever the case might be, certainly every Christian has burdens. And in Psalm 55, you cannot read it without being convinced that the psalmist here is a very burdened man. And with your burden, and I'll ask you if you do have one, because I know you do. With your burden or burdens tonight, please take encouragement from this message that we've entitled Support Promised to Burden Bearers. We've already read the text in verse 22 where it says, Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. As we consider this title, Support Promised to Burden Bearers, there is first of all, I just want to mention a brief point entitled Diversity of Burdens. There are burdens to do with all of our homes, whether it is to do with sickness or needs being met or sorrow from time to time, or whether it is to do with some kind of difficulty or trouble. The burdens that come to a home are burdens that we know an awful lot about when they do come, because they affect us and they affect those that we are closest to. Home is the best place. You sometimes see the sign, no place like home, but in some instances it's not. And there are people, I wouldn't dare name names for the countryside, but there are some women. And there are children too that are in homes, and their homes is not the best place. And they're not happy places. And there are places where there are trouble, and I can think of individuals in particular homes, and they're the ones that's carrying all the burdens. So there are burdens in the home, but there's burdens in connection with serving the Lord. Over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. Well, Paul here is writing about himself, and it says in verse 27, In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. I don't know that many Christians have had more burdens to carry in God's work than Paul did. That is why, or part of the reason why, in Presbyterianism we have elders elected. An elder is a man that is ordained, and he's ordained there, and he's part of the ministry of an elder is to take the pressure off the minister and to do that. And that would be especially important in big churches where there's a very big workload. And a man simply cannot, for his own health's sake, do it all himself. And he needs men to delegate to and men to help him and take the pressure off him and the burden off him. And that very often is the case. But here was Paul. And Paul very often found himself alone. And he's saying here in these verses, he's showing us here to the Corinthian church that he had a huge amount of burdens. So you see the different kinds of burdens.
burdens that you would have in a domestic setting, and then burdens in God's work, which are altogether different. And then there's burdens from being out and about among people, burdens that come and cause fear and anxiety and worry, and if we're not careful, they'll cause despair as well. There's burdens connected to loss and change. And we read there in that psalm about those who were saying there were no changes, so they didn't fear the Lord. Verse 19, God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, because they have no changes. Therefore they fear not God. When things go on tomorrow as they did today and yesterday, people think, well, I don't need God. And there are no changes, therefore there's no fear for him. But you and I, we know that change does come, and sometimes there's loss, and sometimes there's great distress. Sometimes there's a burden of disappointment. I'm sure that whatever you work on, or you did work on, you can think of perhaps sometimes when you were disappointed in doing that. I'm not speaking here necessarily of the Lord's work, just in life in general. And it's been a burden to you. What about the burden of struggling with sin? And Paul was honest enough to own up to that. And he said, "O wretched man that I am." And in that passage in Romans, he detailed just how big a struggle he had with sin. When I was thinking of this tonight, I thought of our brother John MacDonald, that during the winter time he and his wife had come out on Sunday night. And the evening that we had some just stand-up testimonies for a minute. And John stood up and he told us in his testimony that one of the real struggles he had was with a really bad temper. It's hard to imagine John like that. But that's what he said. And the Lord helped him to conquer that. It was a battle, but he certainly got the victory regarding that. But it is a burden when we have these different things that come and they cause us problems, they're burdens for us. And listen, folks, I've only mentioned a few, enumerated a few. You may have lots of burdens tonight, and I haven't mentioned them at all, but you know about them. And they're a real burden. And I think that it is a healthy thing for all of us to acknowledge to ourselves that we do have burdens. Sometimes people who would be very prominent, like back in the day, for instance, Dr. Paisley, and to think he's always able to come into a congregation and lift the meeting and encourage everyone, that he never has any burdens, that would be very wrong to think that he didn't have any burdens. Charles Spurgeon was one of the most used preachers since the day of the Acts of the Apostles. And he saw thousands won to Christ. God used him as an instrument. Sometimes because of burdens and other things, Spurgeon's depression was so bad that he thought he was just going to run away. And he was so far down in the valley because of the various burdens that he had. So don't be ashamed of your burden. And if you're feeling burdened, don't be ashamed of that. There is a diversity of burdens. But then I want to mention, secondly, because the Lord, I want to say here, mentions, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He does not say, talk to me about it and I'll take it away. Doesn't say that. But it says, cast it upon the Lord. But anyway, so the burden is there. Doing wrong with burdens. Whenever we have a burden, it is very easy to doubt. It is easy to doubt God's love. It is easy to doubt God's wisdom. It is easy to feel that you would have a different way of working it, your own way, which might be better. Well, that would be wrong. And that is not a way to deal with burdens. And again, there are many people, Christians, that have burdens that a lot of people know about. They're big things. And a lot of people know about them. Maybe it is loss, or facing some kind of illness or another, and they're a big thing, but questioning God is not the answer to dealing with that burden. In fact, the burden will get worse. And the trial will work against us instead of working for us. But there's also, secondly here, when we're looking at what not to do with burdens, there is a self-pity. And self-pity will never deal with a burden. There's a wee man, and he would have been in his prayer meeting last night, if he had the health to be there at all. And I know that because he prays for me in the prayer meeting in his church. But he can't drive anymore this number of years now. And his wife, she drives him to the prayer meeting. And over this past probably 7 or 8 years, his eyesight has been diminishing to the point that he's almost totally blind. And he comes along to the prayer meeting beside his wife in the car and links her arm into church. And he sits there and he prays. And people have talked to me. And I sometimes feel like I could envy him, because they say they've never, ever heard him complain. I would complain. At least I think I would. But they've never, ever heard that man complain. The third thing is this: what not to do with our burdens. We don't indulge ourselves in self-pity. Self-pity is not honourable, by the way. But we do not... The third thing is this: we do not yield to the desire to escape from the burden. Because the Lord says here, cast thy burden upon the Lord. And again, I was rebuked through the verse. That's why I think it's a good verse for me. I would probably try and do when with burdens. Do tend... Now, I don't mean I behave in an irresponsible way, but the feeling comes, I would like to escape from this. I'd like to escape from it. And then I thought of Joan over in the Isle of Man. And Nicholas knows her, and so does Trath, as a matter too. And there are no male members in the little church in the Isle of Man. And Joan, who is one of the members who was there from the start, she looks after everything. To give you an idea of what she's like as a character, when I first went over, I was going to sing a hymn. She was playing the organ. And I said, we'll sing verse 1, 3, and 5. And she looked up at me from the organ and says, we'll sing it all. So I said, okay, we'll sing it all. That's a really nice person, but completely dedicated to the work. Probably early 80s now, and carries all the burdens. All the burdens for making sure that the little room at the back, the little apartment is ready for the next preachers that's coming, and that the heat is on, that everything's done, so that things are there for the meetings. And Joan would arrive nearly an hour early for the church meeting, just so that she could be in church. And so that she could sit there and look through her hymn book, and just to be there. And Joan has her own issues like everyone else. But she didn't try and escape her burdens. I thought with us having, as a nation, just been coming out of a pandemic now, that I suppose it is an opportunity to escape. Seeing our churches have been closed. Speaking to one man, and he told me that's what's happened. He names one man who is over 90 and couldn't wait to get out to the meetings, and yet there have been people who have they sought a chance to get away, to offload the burden. No more pressure. Somebody else will do it. Just offload the burden. That is not how we deal with our burdens. The Lord gives. And you're going to notice this now. This is, I suppose, coming to the main point of the message. As we've looked there at the diversity of burdens, there are many. And in doing wrong with our burdens, we're not to doubt the Lord. We're not to indulge ourselves in self-pity, and we're not to try to escape. So the third point is this: dealing with the burdens, or having the burdens dealt with. Let's look at the text again. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, for he shall sustain thee. Dealing with our burdens. You see the word burden there? If you were to look at that word burden in the original language, it literally could read, that which he, God, hath given thee. Or if you have a margin in your Bible, and you look there where verse 22 is, the word burden could be interchanged with the word gift. Doesn't seem to weigh up, sure it doesn't. I mentioned all of those things earlier on. You know, the disappointment and discouragement and maybe sickness and all of those things that are burdens, and the work of God itself. And then the Holy Spirit has recorded for us cast thy gift or thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. What is this verse is really showing us, Christian, is that with my burdens today and with yours, whether I know about them or not, your burdens, think of them now, other people connected with the congregation and their burdens, they have been, those burdens have been put in trust to you and me from God. That's what this verse is actually teaching us. And I really thought then, what a verse to my heart. How it, yes, we still feel weak and afraid and feeble, but what a verse to show us, to give us a different perspective on how we can so easily see things. Not very many times do we look upon certainly many burdens as a gift. We look upon them as something terrible. Yes, it's true that the devil can harass Christians. He can come along and he can trouble you, but only as much and when the Lord allows him. That is clearly illustrated in the book of Job. So therefore, the burdens that you have, think of Joan, there week in, week out, with her four or five, sitting with her in the meetings in the Isle of Man, and she won't run away from the burdens. And other people who we can think of, and what we're doing here really is we're tracing the burden. And when you and I, maybe this evening or tomorrow or even now, we think of a burden, when we trace it to him, does that not make it different? That the Lord has allowed a burden to come our way, and he has decreed that it would come our way. That's what the word means, gift. Cast thy gift upon the Lord. He's allowed it to come, and he's put it in trust to you. Now, there are people who've got different burdens from me, because the Lord knows they can better deal with that burden than me. Not because of any particular name, but he knows that between them and himself, that burden can be dealt with. So we're looking here at burdens dealt with, or dealing with burdens. There's a tracing of the burden, first of all. That worry that you have regarding your loved ones, maybe they're not living very well, or maybe you're really, really burdened for someone who's really unwell. That's from the Lord. That's what the verse is showing us. It's allowed, so we just can't look upon sickness and all of the various things and say, oh, that's the devil. That is not true or scriptural to say that. Because you're the Lord's Christian. And every Christian is only experiences what the Lord allows to come. There's a tracing of the burden, but then there's a casting. See what it says there? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Now, the word cast, as you find it in verse 22, is a word that means to hurl something with all your might. In fact, it is the word that, if you look with me there, please, in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, where Daniel has been, well, he's been set up, and he's been faithful to the Lord. And it says in verse 16 of Daniel 6, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. It's the same word. Same meaning. Meaning to hurl him. They expected, you see, that would be the end of him. They thought that would be the end of Daniel once he goes into the den of lions. The same word is used in Jonah 1 to describe the casting of Jonah into the sea. Did the sailors think he would survive that? No, they didn't. They hurled him into the sea and thought that that would be the end of Jonah. And here in Psalm 55 and 22, we are to take our burden and cast it as though that's the end of it. Take it and hurl it just and look upon it in the same way that they looked upon Daniel, in the same way that those sailors looked upon Jonah, as though that's going to be the end of it. And I trust the Lord will help us to do that, because sometimes I'm not good at it. I think that all of us could enjoy the Lord more, could benefit more from even fellowship and from His Word, if we can really get to grips with this verse. Hurl your gift upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. You see, there is the tracing of it here is from the Lord, then the casting. And whenever you cast, you see, what you're really... the Lord is really showing us two lessons. When you cast your gift or your burden upon Him, He's showing us we cannot, but He's also showing us He can. Because the Apostle Paul, again writing to the church at Corinth, was speaking of the difficulties that he had and how he had come to the Lord about his problems. And he left it with the Lord. The burden never went away. He besought the Lord thrice, but the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." The burden stays. The burden stays. But the Lord sustained him, you see. And every day when Paul got up, he would just cast his burden upon the Lord. And he's actually able to testify to how what he had, if you read it carefully, that it was profitable to him, less than he be exalted above measure. Some people might say, "Oh, what a preacher, Paul." Paul didn't want that. And he knew the Lord didn't. So he gave him this thorn in the flesh. There's the casting, there is the tracing, but there is the leaving. See where it says there, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee." It means to hurl it upon Him as if you're never coming back again. The thought of the verse here is to give responsibility to Him for it and for you. To give responsibility to Him for it and for you. When I still wasn't saved, there was a girl 1 or 2 years older than me, but I didn't know her very well. Some years later, got to know her brother a good bit better, but didn't know her very well. But she was a nurse, just qualified. And I don't know what age that would make her, probably 22 or something like that, or 23. And I remember one time some of the ones saying, "Did you go to such and such a place the other night?" She was a Christian, associated with one of her Free Presbyterian churches. And she said, "No." She said, "I was looking after..." And she named a person, and she said, "I know my shift was over, but," she says, "I wanted to stay because I wanted to hold their hand in their last moments." And among other young people her age, in no time at all, in her nursing profession, she was looked upon as one who seemed to be quite happy to go into that kind of position, situation very often, and sit with people during their last moments and comfort them and encourage them. And she said, it's a long time ago, she said, "You know, just take it as something from the Lord that I can do." A few years went by, and I got saved a few years after that, and a few years went by and she got married. And you may think, well, what a great young woman, and you know, that's a pretty big burden, being nursing, but one who's able to minister in those very, very difficult circumstances in that way. She got married, and in just a very, very short space of time, her husband developed multiple sclerosis really bad. And it got bad real, real quick. And you know, she's just the same with him. And you know what she said when people said, "You know, with your job and on, you're helping people, and you're helping other people, it's a wonder that this happened to you." She says, "No," she says, "it's just something that the Lord has given me." Powerful. She saw it as from the Lord, and she certainly knew what it was to cast her care upon the Lord, and He would sustain her. And I trust that you'll read this when you go home again, that it will encourage you and help you with all the burdens that you have, remembering the meaning of the word burden there, meaning gift. Something that the Lord, you may not rejoice in it, but remember, if you burn it as sent from Him, that changes everything. I trust the Lord will help us. Sorry, I went on a little bit.